everybody, this is Diane from the land of the monsoon, which apparently translates to Indian summer.
Okay, this is Todd in Los Angeles, and we don't even know what the fuck rain looks like.
And this is our fuck it, let's all vote for Johnson episode.
Also known as episode 21 for this year, so.
Hey, not too bad.
Hey, we are actually doing better than one every 2 weeks. I don't know how, but we are, in fact, actually doing better than one every 2 weeks.
And we're going to post Hillbilly Heroine soon, right?
It's already posted.
Woo! All right. I missed it today.
Loser.
Hey, I just work on it, man. Okay, so I'm going to say this again for the podcast, because you told me it had to be on the podcast. So
yeah.
I'm crocheting right now as we speak. And I was telling Todd that I got obsessed by this really awesome pattern that a friend of mine sent to me. It's traditional granny squares like your grandma did, except they're skulls, which I just think is the best. And my co-host over at Biters, which is the Walking Dead podcast I work on, he and his wife are having a new baby. I was telling him about it, and I said, you know, it's kind of a shame that I'm making something for a kid for you. And he said, oh, no, just knit it in pink and send it our way. So I'm totally doing pink skulls right now. It's really pretty darn cool.
We're all going to expect a picture.
Oh, I think I can manage that.
Yeah.
Might not be the finished product. It might just be some of the skulls as they come along. But, yeah, I can totally manage that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's see, what else, business-wise? Shout-out to Hannah.
Yeah?
Who's talking about doing her own broadcast of some sort.
That's awesome!
Yeah, so, we'll totally listen, Hannah. Whatever
yeah.
it is, we'll totally listen.
And I think that you should have guest hosts from time to time.
Sure, exactly.
Because Todd doesn't have enough on his plate.
Hey, I don't have enough on my plate. Basically, I just got to keep getting a bigger plate.
Yeah, I hear you there, man. That's kind of the way I'm feeling. Although we were talking before we started recording about the blissful aspect of having a job that is week on, week off. I'm telling you, I'm in survival mode during my week on, but the week off is amazing.
Yeah, you know the difference between that and consulting?
You work all the time.
No, except for when I don't, right? But I don't get paid. It's called feast or famine.
Yeah, I know. You know, the sad thing about working in the prison industry, and I will say again that I work for a state-run prison, not a private prison, because I think there's a big difference, is that there's always going to be work for me.
Yeah.
So...
Absolutely.
But, you know, on the flip side, I really do honestly believe, and this sounds totally naive, I've been this way for my entire nursing career, I do believe that there are days I make a difference.
Holy shit. Of course you do. I mean, that's the thing, right? Everybody, you know, and this, we all feel like we don't make a difference, but the truth is we all do. And I'm here to say that I'm pretty sure that medical professionals such as yourself tend to make a difference on a fairly frequent basis.
You'd be amazed by how often we don't feel that way, though. Because you don't hear it all that often.
It's true, right? Yeah, and if you want the drama and the trauma, right, you got to be in ER.
Right.
You know, and then you'll know, right? You'll know whether or not you made a difference right there.
Well, you know, and here's the truth. I am now working with one of the most vulnerable populations on the planet.
Sure.
So, you know, I may be the only kind word that they get in a day.
Yep.
And, you know, some of them have done really horrific things, but, you know, they're still human.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been a really interesting philosophical journey that has just begun.
Oh, let's see. What else? You said monsoon, so you guys are getting, like, a ton of rain?
Oh, yeah. It's just started tonight. Well, it's been rainy off and on for the past few days, but it really started coming down hard tonight. Of course, right before we got ready to feed the animals.
Right.
So, Yeah. I had a friend post today that we're going to have an Indian summer, but it's sure looking pretty rainy and grim out there to me right now.
Yeah.
So, but it's Alaska. It is what it is.
Yep. It is what it is. All right. So speaking of it is what it is, tonight's topic.
Well, so, you know, as I suspect most of our listeners are, I'm getting pretty damn tired of the whole election thing. I'm totally frustrated. I feel like I really am choosing the lesser of two evils, which is not how I started out this cycle after Bernie declared. I'm totally having those random impulses of, screw it, I'm just going to vote for a third party. I know, which is ridiculous because, I mean, we've said it before, I'll say it again, Alaska has, what, 3 electoral votes? It's right. Not going to matter what I do.
Well, and you're so heavily red.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this before, too, and I really do think there's a strong chance that we'll go for Johnson, but, we're definitely not going to go for Hillary.
I would feel that Johnson, yeah, had a better chance than Hillary.
Yeah. And Jill Stein's pretty much got no chance, so.
Well, so is it true Jill Stein is anti-vax?
Well, so it's funny that you brought that up because that was definitely one of the things that I looked up when I went to talk, when I wanted to talk about her. And, you know, it was interesting. I ran across an article that I actually saved. Hang on, let me get to that page. Because I'm kind of flying by the seat of my pants tonight. I didn't write anything down.
Oh, you mean you're doing it like I do. Okay.
I'm doing it like you do, man. So, anyway. Now I'm even more distracted and I have to get to the page. So, here's what this article had to say that was super interesting. It was an article in Salon written by a woman named Amanda Marcotte. And basically, she said that the only person who is not pandering to the anti-vax movement is Gary Johnson.
Actually, okay.
Maybe she said it was Hillary Clinton. Oh, and now I'm getting a lovely video feed. But she basically said, you know, that even Bernie, and that kind of broke my heart, totally soft-pedaled the whole, well, you know, we're not going to say the vaccines are 100% safe and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I mean, Jill Stein's a doctor, and she's totally soft-pedaling the vaccine, the whole vaccine thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So she's not coming out and saying, don't vaccinate, but she's coming out and she's saying things like, well, we make guinea pigs out of whole populations, and then we discover how many die. That is a direct quote. So, yeah.
Okay, although, her stated position, though I'm looking at
yeah,
Snopes.
Are you looking at her? Yeah, well, the Snopes thing, they actually addressed that in this article. Right?
So are they saying that Snopes has it wrong?
Right, because Snopes debunked the whole thing, right?
Right.
So, as soon as I posted the link, some dude was telling me that Snopes, the venerable urban legend fact-checking site, had debunked this particular lie. My eyes rolled at the paranoid phrasing, but I checked out Snopes for such an article anyway. Much to my consternation, the site had, for reasons that still don't make sense, gone there. Writer Kim LaCapria called the accusations rumors and flatly rated it as false to say that Stein is anti-vaccination. Basically, this author's conclusion was... Sorry, I'm getting more feedback from that stupid commercial. If you click on the Vox link above, the accusation is not that Stein herself is personally anti-vaccination. The accusation is that Stein panders to the anti-vaccination crowd by sowing doubts about vaccination safety and validating their completely unfounded suspicions that the FDA is somehow working for shadowy corporations. Dr. Stein uses a common anti-vaccine dodge in which she denies that she's anti-vaccine, but then repeats anti-vaccine tropes about vaccines not being tested in the same way as other drugs. In fact, if anything, they're tested more rigorously. Corruption in big pharma, etc., said wow. David Gorski, a surgical oncologist and pro-science blogger. She even walked back a tweet saying there's no evidence the vaccines cause autism to, I'm not aware of evidence linking vaccines to autism. Talk about an anti-vaccine dog whistle.
Maybe. Okay. So here it is, ladies and gentlemen. We have no idea what the fuck her position is, and it's probably not fair to her to say that she has taken one position or another, because it's unclear.
Well,
it's unclear because of the shitty coverage of third-party candidates.
And the thing that I will say is that, you know, anybody who kind of soft-pedals the language about vaccines, and again, you know, they're pretty much accusing everybody of doing it, except, I stand corrected, Hillary Clinton. They do say in this article that in the last several years, Hillary and Barack Obama have both come out decidedly pro-vaccination. But they accuse all
of... Okay, right there, there's enough of a reason to just vote for her. Right there, that's it. I am a one-issue person.
But your issue is vaccine.
Yep.
But the author of the Salon article does point out that, you know, Bernie and Gary Johnson, I misspoke initially, and Donald Trump all kind of soft-pedal the whole vaccine thing, too, where they're like, well, we're not aware of anything but Big Pharma's evil. And don't get me wrong, I think Big Pharma is evil, but if you notice, there are not a lot of vaccines in development because there's not a lot of money to be made from vaccines.
Right, and the other thing is, you're likely to get sued.
Right. Well, and the other thing is, why cure something when you can make more money treating it?
Well, there's that, right?
Or why prevent something when you can make more money treating it? So, do I think Big Pharma is shadowy? Hell yeah, I do. Do I think that people who soft-pedal the whole vaccine thing are wishy-washy? Yeah, I do. Yeah. So, is Jill Stein anti-vax? No, she's not specifically anti-vax. She's just not hardcore pro-vax. That's probably a fair way to say it.
Okay. And that's all we're going to say about Jill Stein.
Well, no, actually, I mean, I did bookmark both candidates' pages because I kind of wanted to talk about both Johnson and Stein, but I thought maybe we could talk about the history of third parties first, because I thought that was really kind of interesting. So I actually found an article in the Boston Globe that was from July of this year, and there was a statistic that was really astonishing. No modern third party candidate has ever improved their summer polling numbers. And they looked all the way back to Strom Thurmond, who ran as a Dixiecrat in 1948. And then they gave a whole bunch of examples. So George Wallace was polling at 17% in the summer. By November, he dropped to 14%. John Anderson, who I actually remember, I couldn't believe that, ran in 1980 as a centrist independent. He polled 24% at best, but he still ended up third to Carter and Reagan. And then Ross Perot lost half of his support between June and November in 1992.
That's, of course, a lot to do with the fact that Ross Perot is crazy. Because, yeah, before Ross Perot, this is the same thing that we see all the time, particularly on the right side of the political spectrum, is that at the beginning, these guys could be anything. They could be the savior that we've all wanted. You know, if you're, you know, pissed off, angry, white guy, conservative.
But if you're just sick of what's being offered, like, oh, I don't know.
but the thing is, as soon as guys like Perot start opening their mouths, you go, well, that's just the crazy train.
Right. And Perot was definitely on the crazy train, as was Ron Paul later on.
Ron Paul, the first 8 things you said, I totally agree and understand. The last 2, holy fuck, we're not.
But, we are, you know,
done.
Another point that I thought was really interesting is, if you think about Gary Johnson, he actually has the opportunity to reverse that trend. I don't know that he will, but he has the opportunity to reverse that trend because Clinton and Trump are both getting ever higher, I don't want to say disapproval numbers, but that's probably the best thing I can say. It's not like their numbers are dramatically shifting as far as who's getting what in the popular vote in the Electoral College, but more and more people are coming out saying, we hate these guys and we don't want to vote for them.
Yeah, you know, so in the end, I don't think that the Greens are going to take any votes away.
No, although I did see something that suggested that both Stein and Johnson are filtering votes off, and that Stein could steal more from Hillary, Johnson could steal more from Trump.
Well, that would be the assumption. Yeah.
Right. But, you know, I definitely don't think we're going to see anything out of Jill Stein. I do find myself wondering if the Commission on Debates will give it up and let Johnson be in the debates.
No way.
You don't think they will?
No, absolutely
because
not.
Because it would detract from the big party candidates.
Right, well, because the Committee on Presidential Debates is not a government organization, but, you know, a private organization run by apparatchiks for the parties.
I was just going to say, but they're funded by both the parties, so...
Right.
Yeah.
Right, and I mean, they learned their lesson when they let Perot in. They're never going to do that again, right? So they've set a bar of, like, you have to be getting 15%, which I know Johnson's not polling anywhere near that.
He's polling around 10. 10, yeah. 10 to 12. I think there are a handful of states where he might be close to 15, but the bulk of states he's polling around 10 to 12. Right. And when you look at Nate Silver's numbers, he's getting like 0.4 electoral votes right now.
Which is really interesting, right? I'd like to see that one. I'm not entirely sure how he's going to get that.
So that article on Salon actually had a couple of other interesting points. They said, you know, when you're talking about a third party candidate, and this goes back to what you were saying earlier, they don't really have to be anything other than appealing. They don't have to be viable.
Right.
They just have to hold people's interest. But then the closer that we get to the election, the more the cost of voting for a third party candidate becomes clear to people who are kind of toying with it. And so people usually fall in line and vote for one of the two major party candidates.
Yeah, it is the reality that our two-party system is really hard to make a three-party system.
Which I think is unfortunate, because I do think that we would be healthier if we had a three-party or more, a multi-party system.
Right.
You know, I do think it would require more compromise, and I think that's a healthy thing. I don't know how we get there, because it's, and I think we've talked about this before, every election that we're in is like, you must vote like your life depends on it, because it does.
Oh, right, yeah, I mean.
You know?
Vote.
Yeah. And, this is definitely probably the one that feels the most that way of any elections ever have.
Yeah. There is no doubt, obviously, that the popularity of the two candidates is somewhere in the toilet.
Somewhere south of the toilet.
Yeah. I mean... But... That being said, I still don't see third-party viability out of this. Now, Johnson, I mean, the thing about Johnson is, like, he's the same Republican, which is why he went over to the Libertarian Party.
Well, and I agree. I mean, he certainly seemed like one of the adults in the room, he and John Kasich.
Yep.
I don't necessarily agree with everything that they believe, but, God, even the other night, Kasich was on... I think he was on MSNBC doing some analysis, and I thought, Republicans, really? You overlooked this guy for Donald Trump? Are you kidding me?
Well, there's something just really seriously wrong with the Republicans.
Well, yeah.
they really do need to fix their primary system.
Oh my god.
It's grim, right? You know, the odds of Hillary winning this thing have been decreasing steadily now for a couple weeks.
I know, you have gotten me into the habit of looking at 538 every day, and it's not a good habit.
Right, no, you really, really should not look at 538 more than once a week.
Oh my god, but gradually her numbers have been decreasing and Trump's numbers have been increasing.
Sure, but it's hard to say if that's just some noise in the polls. More than likely, it has a lot to do with the fact that, for the most part, Trump hasn't managed to sound like an asshole in the last 3 weeks. Mostly because he hasn't said anything.
Or he's read off of a teleprompter, which right. Everybody seems to think is just the most amazing thing ever.
Well, I mean, watching a monkey read, it's pretty fucking amazing.
He is pretty horrifying.
I mean, the guy looks like an orangutan.
He does. You know, he sued Bill Maher for saying that.
Of course he did.
He really did. I'm not kidding. I'm not making shit up.
I know, because he sues everybody and says, "Hey, Donald, fuck you. You look like an orangutan. Come and get me. You fucking orange hair, small head fuck."
The opinions expressed by Todd Atterbury do not reflect.
Come on. Live a little. Live a little.
Oh, I'm just yanking the chain. You know that.
You know.
Well, so, but I really did actually want to talk a little bit about each of the third sure. party candidates. So, since I'm on Stein, I'll go ahead and just talk about her a little bit. Actually, I'm just going to talk about her. I'm really not impressed. So, I have been a Green Party voter in the past. I have cast more than one ballot for a Green Party candidate in the past. There is just something about her that is not genuine.
Okay, well.
Or maybe it really is genuine and I'm just kind of like, okay, granola crunching chick, get out of my way. I don't know. There's just something about her that does not speak to me.
Well, there you go. I mean, you know, and that's the thing, right. Look, honestly, right? If her and Johnson, I mean, Johnson's got a little more gravitas, I suppose, but not by much. I mean, because the thing is if these people had serious gravitas, people would be paying attention to them. And
you know, here's the thing, though. I mean, when I look at the platform on her website, which is Jill2016.com, okay. You know, I mean, she has positions that speak to me. So she's talking about a Green New Deal, create millions of jobs by transitioning to 100% clean renewable energy by 2030, and investing in public transit, sustainable agriculture, and conservation. Does that appeal to me? Absolutely.
How does that translate into millions of jobs?
Good question. Create living wages for every American who needs work, replacing unemployment offices with employment offices. Advance worker rights to form unions, achieve workplace democracy, and keep a fair share of the wealth they create. Okay, again, that kind of language really speaks to me. But I just don't see any fire. I just don't see any passion.
Right.
You know, and you're right. I mean, it's easy to say those kinds of things, but how do you back them up with a plan?
This is the problem, right? It always comes back to the underwear gnomes from South Park.
Okay, you're going to have to enlighten me because I've seen like one episode of South Park. It seems like every time I turn on Comedy Central and there's an episode of South Park playing, I swear to God, it's the episode about Tom Cruise being in the closet.
It's a pretty funny episode.
It is a pretty funny episode, but it's like the only episode I've ever seen. Scientology, come get us.
Anyway, these gnomes are stealing everybody's underwear, right? And the reason they're stealing everybody's underwear is because they've come up with a plan to make millions of dollars doing it, right? And so but they dropped the plan. And one of the kids was looking at the plan, and the plan says, get underwear, question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark, make millions. And that's what I mean. That's what I see from all of these guys, all the party candidates, right?
And you know, I was just gonna say that because I actually spent the time, I don't know why, because I just like to torture myself, I guess, watching the Commander in Chief Forum on MSNBC tonight. You know, and they basically had Hillary talking to a group of veterans and active duty military people. And then Trump coming on and getting a half an hour to do the same thing. And it was like, wah, 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 wah. Because they said all this shit, but nothing to back any of it up.
Right, because it's easy to say, hey, we support our troops. See, I got a flag pin on, right? So I support our fucking troops.
And we're going to make
vote for me.
We're going to make the VA better. It's okay now, but we're going to make it better. Okay, and I'll tell you what, if that fucker Trump says doctor and not provider one more time, dude's got no recognition of the role that non-physician providers play in the VA. Just saying.
I'm just going to go ahead and say it, that he has no idea of what the VA really is.
You're probably right.
You know?
You're probably right.
It's a talking point, you know? He knows veterans from, you know, Adam, right?
but I think you're right. I mean, these guys are all underwear gnomes. Steal underwear, make millions of dollars.
Right, you know, but how that works is a complete fucking mystery, even to the gnomes, you know? And this is the problem I have with all of these guys, and I have this problem with Clinton. I have this problem with almost anybody I actually end up voting for, you know? This is a great idea. I have no fucking idea how you think you're going to do it because you didn't tell us, you know.
And even Bernie, I mean, let's be honest, he had great ideas. I wasn't quite sure how he was going to get us all there, but I was a hell of a lot closer to him than I was to anybody else.
Right, right.
You know,
once in my life, I've actually watched a debate where one of the candidates actually knew exactly what they were going to do, had the plan, could articulate the plan and everything else, right?
Well, that person must have lost.
No, they won. This is San Diego, the mayor of San Diego.
Okay.
A guy named Roger Hedgecock. And Hedgecock was most famous for the fact that he actually went to jail.
Oh, great.
as part of a pyramid kickback scheme.
Was that before or after he accomplished his plan?
In the middle. He was elected, and then he was under indictment, ran and won a second term because he was actually pretty good at the job, and served part of the second term before being convicted and put in jail. So, but the thing was, right, during the debates, the moderators would say, what are we going to do about X, right? One of the issues was cleaning up Mission Bay, which at that time was heavily polluted. And the guy running against Hedgecock was like, oh, it's just time for new ideas. Literally, that's all he said the entire night.
But he didn't have anything to back up what his new ideas were. Okay.
And every time they'd ask Hedgecock, well, what are we going to do about this? He'd be like, all right, so here's the five things that we've already done, and here are the next five steps we need to take, you know, kind of thing for like every issue. And it's just like, huh. You know, so why we can't have that kind of discourse from our presidential candidates really is something I don't understand. We used to.
Well, you know, and you were kind of joking about analyzing the media, but just thinking about that point and thinking about the Commander-in-Chief forum that I watched tonight, each candidate was given a half an hour to answer questions from the audience. And I mean, we're talking about big questions like, what are you going to do about sexual assault and trauma in the military? What are you going to do about the rate of suicides in veterans in our country right now? You know, they didn't even get to questions like, how are you going to address homelessness in veterans?
Right.
When you get a half an hour to answer big questions like that, and you're being ushered from question to question, you can't do anything other than say steal underwear and make millions.
But they choose to say that. These people are running for president in the United States. And if they, because especially since it's not a direct debate kind of situation, if Hillary Clinton wanted to listen to a guy's question and then spend the next 20 minutes articulating her answer, everybody would let her.
Interestingly, I mean, I think she could force the issue. I think
exactly.
I think either one of them could have forced the issue, but
the host was
totally ushering them from topic to topic.
Right, which is what the candidates want, because then they don't
have to articulate a plan.
Right, because they can just say underwear, millions. Let me just shorthand it for you. What was your question, sir? Yes, absolutely, underwear. And millions. Okay, next. You know.
I think the other thing that was super depressing about that is that, you know, they didn't really change any minds. And it's, I think we're at the point now where I don't really expect anybody's mind to change. But, you know, they went back through the audience afterwards and said, did you hear something that made you change your mind? And people were like, well, no, not really.
Everybody was still like, big fucking Meteor 16.
No doubt. So
it's hard. It's hard. It is so hard to get through this one, and I'm just it's awful. Every week, you know, every day, I'm looking at the news, going,
what's going to explode today, right?
Or what's not going to explode today that probably should have exploded today, or you know, or why is Ann Coulter trending on Facebook?
You don't know why Ann Coulter is trending on Facebook?
I just looked it up. It was pretty funny, but...
I did you read my blog about it?
No, because, like, working. Sorry.
Because I actually, you know, now we're totally off topic. Okay, for those of you who don't know...
Did you post on Nurse Diane?
No. I started a new blog. I'll hook you up, man.
Okay, well, see, you can't do that in a vacuum.
It is posting on my Facebook page.
Okay. Yeah, you can't do that in a vacuum.
Okay, anyway, so for those who don't know, and we're way off topic because I'm going to haul us back to Gary Johnson and Bill Weld. Comedy Central had a roast of Rob Lowe. For some reason, Ann Coulter was there. Still can't quite figure it out. And she was the butt of all the jokes. And I've got to tell you, man, I was actually offended on her behalf. Now, I cannot find a single fucking redeeming quality in Ann Coulter, but some of the stuff that was said to her was just appalling. I mean, there was even one comedian who was basically like, why don't you just die? Just die. And I'm like, you know, that's just not funny.
Yeah, but seriously, what the fuck were you going on? You know, fuck her.
But, you know, it is one of those things where I'm thinking about trying to make this human suit fit just a little better. Yeah, and
Then, you probably shouldn't be watching the roast on Comedy Central.
I didn't even watch that. I just watched a clip from it, and they kind of highlighted all of the things that were said to Ann Coulter. And I'm like, yeah, I can't pass this on. You know, I was not very remorseful about sharing the pictures of naked Donald Trump with no balls, but... I can't pass this on. It was so damaging and pretty vicious. So, yeah, that's why Ann Coulter is trending.
Okay, but, you know, seriously, right? She's pretty vicious.
Oh, yeah, she's horrible, but...
And she has said really horrible things about a lot of people.
Oh, yeah,
And if she can't stand the heat, that's all I'm going to say.
You'll have to read my blog. I'll hook you up with a new blog. Anyway, yeah, I mean, I was also thinking about what you were saying about the guy who ran for mayor of San Diego being under indictment the second time he got elected.
Yeah.
So if you stop and think about it for a minute, okay, Hillary is still being investigated for the fucking emails. I mean, there's still stuff going on and coming out. Every day about that. Julian Assange was on the news either yesterday or today, again, threatening to release horrible things that are going to destroy her chances come November. And then Donald Trump is still being investigated for the Trump University. Either one of our candidates could be, and I use the term "our" loosely, could be under indictment when they are elected.
Yeah.
It's nauseating.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Okay, so Gary Johnson and Bill Weld, just to change the topic a little bit. So, okay. You know, I mean, I read stuff on their page, which is johnsonweld.com/issues, and they're talking about stuff like reducing our national debt, like simplifying our tax code, incorporating term limits, being true to the real idea of civil liberties, that the government can't tell you who to love, they can't look through your cell phone, all of those kinds of things. You know, I'm down with that, but sure. My experience with libertarians has been they're great when it comes to wanting to push the government out of things, but then when it comes to, like, trying to fund healthcare or trying to fund education, they're kind of like, not so much. Yeah. So, I could almost be a libertarian. If they believed in funding social justice, because I do believe that generally speaking, they're more interested in social justice than, say, the Republican Party. They just don't believe in funding it.
Right.
I could potentially be a libertarian, but I can't get down with it, man. You have to pay for some of the things that you want. I'm sorry, you just have to.
Right, well, because we live in a fucking society.
Right. I will say that...
And there are rules.
I will say that Gary Johnson probably has the young vote nailed up because he's pro-marijuana and he's a mountain climber. But
good for him, you know. And the funny thing is, of course, like by 8 years, you know, two presidential elections from now, all the candidates will be for pot.
Right.
You know, because after all the government entities start getting wealthy on the tax revenue being generated from it, you know, they'll all be for it.
You know, we legalized it in our last election here in Alaska, mm-hmm. and we still haven't figured out how to get it off the ground. And there are still communities that are like, well, we know the state legalized it, but we want to legislate our own policy around how that fits into our community.
Sure.
So we still haven't figured it out.
Right, but you got dry cities, you know?
Right. But meanwhile, you know, Colorado is funding schools and funding homeless shelters, and we can't pull our heads out of our asses here in Alaska.
Right. Well, so, the difference might be the makeup of the legislature in
Colorado
versus Alaska. Yeah. I'm just going to go out there on a limb for a second.
Yeah, talk about going out on a limb. Okay, I'm really off topic again here, but there is some wackadoodle woman who's in our legislature up here, and that's, I mean, there's a whole bunch of wackadoodles.
Saying a lot.
Right,
yeah.
There's a whole bunch of wackadoodles in our legislature up here. This woman actually wrote a letter supporting a convicted sex offender and pleading for leniency for him. She used the power of her office to plead for leniency for this convicted sex offender. Kind of hoping this election season sees her go down.
Yeah, there's probably a whole story there that's worth getting into at some point, but maybe what the fuck?
Yeah.
On the other hand, what the fuck?
It's Alaska, man.
Yeah.
You had your brief stint in Alaska politics. You know how messed up we are.
Absolutely. I loved it. Glad I had the opportunity to do it. Glad I left.
But we make your convicted mayor look like a saint.
Oh. And Hedgecock was a great mayor.
Unfortunate name.
Well, I gotta tell you, I mean, San Diego's just had problems with mayors for a long time, you know. Not least of which was the recent one who got booted for sexual harassment and everything on a grand scale.
So, I thought I remembered something about that.
Yeah, it's interesting, actually, the number of mayors in San Diego who've gotten themselves into really serious trouble.
Kind of got your own little Paul LePage going on, huh?
Well... I'm not sure I got there, but.
Yeah, dear audience, we will have to do a whole podcast about Paul LePage at some point. Talk about a wackadoodle.
Yeah, so, okay, so I'm going to wrap back down to the third party thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, here's the bottom line, right? If you live in a state where it doesn't fucking matter because it's so red or so blue that, you know, your candidate either has A, no chance, or B, is completely safe.
Or you only have 3 electoral votes.
Right, well, again, you know, feel free to vote for a third party candidate, you know, maybe help the Libertarians along a little bit. Nothing wrong with that. But if you're in a competitive state, hold the line, guys.
Yeah.
Hold the line.
Really, Armageddon or tea? I'm still there, man. Armageddon or tea. I probably need to get that tattooed on my arm somewhere. Which, by the way, I did have my arm traced for my Sandman tattoo earlier today.
Good.
Kind of excited about that. That's totally not related to politics.
You know, other than, you know, Sandman offers you hope that someday maybe the world can be better.
Hey, man, I'm rereading the series before I send it back to you, and it's like being in the arms of an old friend.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting those back. I have not read those in quite a while.
Well, you'll probably get those back before you get Fables back.
It's all right. You got to read the Fables. Hey, okay. And if you have no idea what we're talking about, check out Sandman by Neil Gaiman or Fables by Willingham.
I was gonna say I've got one right in front of me, Bill Willingham. Yeah.
Awesome comics.
Yep, and check out Preacher because it's pretty awesome too.
Preacher ended with a bang, you know, for the season.
I have still not seen it because we're still trying to catch up with podcasting the rest of the season. So
you have not seen the
I have not seen the finale. We'll have to talk about it after Marnell and I finish podcasting it.
I'm gonna spoil it. There's a lot of screaming and a lot of running.
There's probably some chainsaws too.
Yeah. Wait a second. I'm sorry. That's the finale for Walking Dead.
Oh.
I get it all confused.
Hey. Speaking of Walking Dead, now we're way off topic again. So, you know, Brian and I are podcasting Fear the Walking Dead right now because Walking Dead proper is not.
And if we wanted to listen to you and Brian podcast about Fear of the Walking Dead, we would go to
Biters. You can find our Facebook page under Biters.
Biters.
And you can find us on just about any podcasting platform as Biters.
There you go, because, well, you got some professional people behind you there as compared to us.
Well, so
we're on Google.
Hey, man, I'm happy with our little podcast. I'd like to see it get bigger. I'm happy with our little podcast. But I will say, Fear the Walking Dead last Sunday, finally the fucking episode I've been waiting for the last season and a half.
All right.
Yeah. All right. So if anybody's a Walking Dead fan out there, there you go.
The payoff does actually happen, huh?
Yeah, and then it'll probably go to shit from here again.
I couldn't figure out who the lead was, right? The female lead in the show. And then we started rewatching Deadwood.
Oh, right.
That's Joni.
See, I know her from Gone Girl. Nick was into Deadwood, but I was not, so.
Deadwood, absolute proof that HBO probably had a thing about sex, nudity, and violence towards women long before Game of Thrones ever came
out. Well, I guess that's kind of a short tour of our opinions about third-party candidates.
In the end, you know, I really would love to say something profound about these guys, but they got no chance.
Well, I'm going to say something a little profound. At least it's profound from my little sad world. I actually wouldn't be really all that sad if Gary Johnson won.
Yeah, well, okay.
You know, because here's the deal. I think that he would not be able to dismantle the structures in our government that he doesn't want to fund in the time that he's in office. And I think he does have the potential to make some reasonable changes. So hey, everybody out there, you know, if you want to vote for Johnson, go for it. Just suck the votes away from Trump, not away from Clinton, okay?
Yeah. All right, but yeah, be sure you vote.
Got anybody for Fuck That Guy or for Hall of Honorable Mention?
Well, you know, yeah, I got several things to talk about this week. First of all, the federal government closed down ITT Tech this week.
Really?
Yeah. Well, wow. The federal government decertified them from being able to get federal aid, you know, student aid through them.
Is it because they're more like a Trump University kind of setup?
It's exactly why they did it, right? And because as soon as the ITT lost its ability to get the student funding, the federal money that comes to the students, they closed the doors.
What a scam.
Oh, yeah, totally. And anybody in the tech industry has known that for a long time. The ITT, of course, was famous at the height of the tech bubble for ads where some complete dumb shit just finished going through ITT Tech and now has a job working in IT and just bought his mom a house.
I totally remember all of those ads, man.
Yeah. So, Hall of Honorable Mention, federal government, and apparently 22 states. So, way to go, guys. Did something that should have been done a long time ago, but better late than never.
Amen, man.
Let's see. Also, Hall of Honorable Mention goes to Phyllis Schlafly for finally passing away.
Okay, I saw the funniest quote by Samuel Taylor Coleridge. Did you see it? Because I'm going to have to look it up. It's about reading obituaries, and it's really awesome. And somebody used it in reference to Phyllis Schlafly, and it was really hilarious.
For those of our listeners who are younger than us and probably don't know who Phyllis was infamous in her opposition to the Equal Rights Amendment because, I'm paraphrasing but only slightly, it is the natural order that women give birth, and because women give birth, men must go out and earn money, and women are dependent on men to earn the money.
Apparently before she died, she also wrote a book about Donald Trump. Donald Trump was hailing her as a great political thinker and recommending that everyone go out and get her new book. So this is what I saw, and this made me crack up. So this is actually not the character Clarence Darrow. He's a real dude. Paraphrasing Mark Twain. I have never wished a man dead, but I have read some obituaries with great pleasure.
Yep.
And you know, that's kind of the way that I feel about Phyllis Schlafly.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And she also apparently said, there will be a woman president over my dead body, to which Hillary says gladly.
Yeah, it's about to work out that way, so. Boy, and there were a few other things that I've forgotten in all the insanity this week, but yeah, there were a couple of good things where I was just like, I need to mention that.
We said that there was something that was worth a mention. It must have been Phyllis Schlafly, actually. I think that was one of the things that we agreed.
Right.
Well, so I have another podcast to bring to people's attention. So I'm going to pull it up on my phone so I get the title right, because I have started listening to this recently and I'm really enjoying it. So it's called Politically Reactive, and it's with W. Kamau Bell and Hari Kondabolu. So it's a black guy and a guy of Asian, like Southeast Asian or Continental Asian descent. And they're comedians, but they do really pretty serious interviews. Like today they had an interview with Sean King that was really good. At the end of July, they interviewed Amy Goodman of Democracy Now! So they're really funny and engaging, but they have really serious interviews. So Politically Reactive, I strongly recommend that people take a look at it.
Excellent.
Yeah. So That, and I don't know that I've ever mentioned it, but Political Gabfest is one of my favorites, too.
I do believe you have mentioned that one.
Oh, and since I'm on the topic of other podcasts that I wish ours was as famous as, there is, I don't know if I mentioned this, but there's a super funny one called Slate's Trump Cast. Did I talk about that one?
No.
Okay, so they're little bites. They're usually about 20 to 25 minutes long. Slate's Trump Cast. And what they do is they open with a guy who sounds frighteningly like Trump reading the latest tweets of the week. And then they have a serious interview about, you know, something in terms of Trump's policy or some crazy ass thing he's said this week. And then they close with the same guy reading another tweet. It is hilarious. It's frightening, but it's hilarious. So, Politically Reactive and Trump Cast. That's what you want to listen to if you're not listening to us.
But listen to us.
Yeah, listen to us first, because that way you get all the great recommendations for what you should be reading and listening to.
And Hannah, yeah, whatever you want to do, we're going to listen.
Yeah, we're going to totally support that. That's awesome.
All right.
Well, so I picked a Neil Gaiman quote that I thought was really good because I'm rereading his comics and because this is all about politics and freedom of speech this week. And his quote is, "A nice, easy place for freedom of speech to be eroded is in comics. Comics are a natural target whenever an election comes up."
Right, yeah.
So, I like that. Thought that was good.
What was it? Seduction of the Innocent, right?
I don't know which, I don't know where it came from, but that would...
No.
Oh.
That's the whole thing in the 1950s, right? The book that was written about how comics were warping the minds of young Americans, right?
And I had never heard of it.
The Comic Code came into place, right? And almost bankrupted comic books.
Really?
Yeah. And it put some really talented companies out of business. And that's why comics, for the longest time, weren't any more serious than the Super Friends, you know, on Saturday morning.
That is super cool. I did not know that. Where did you read that?
Oh, I don't know. I've known all the... I know comic book history to some degree.
Well, I love it because, you know, right now my world is being informed by all of these great comic books, old and relatively old but still publishing.
Right. Yeah, and that's why... that's where the direct sales stuff started in the late 80s. Mid to late 80s, which was things like Sandman and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Which you couldn't get at the supermarket. You could only get at the specialty comic stores. Right.
Okay.
And so they could become more adult, and they did.
Very cool.
You know, and then everybody talented left, so.
And made way for Robert Kirkman.
Yeah. So, just out of nowhere, here's one I didn't even know was even, like, a thing, right? But on Snopes, right, they've got an article that is, "No, Katy Perry is not JonBenet Ramsey."
Oh, my God, are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
Leave Katy Perry alone.
You know.
It's bad enough that she was parented by two evangelicals. Leave the poor girl alone.
Oh.
You know, on that note, we probably need to finish with a Katy Perry song.
You can probably do that. Yeah, but yeah, apparently that was a story.
Well, thank God for Snopes, because I would have never known that was not her history.
Yeah. Yeah, and by the way, I will give a shout out to Snopes, where, you know, maybe it's not always perfect or anything, but if you want to know if something is a hoax, they've probably got some good information on it.
Yeah. I do have to say that I've been burned more than once by reposting something and not checking Snopes. So right. Do better than I did and look at Snopes first.
You know, if you're not sure that this makes sense, but you're angry about it, yeah, look at Snopes. Because it's a good chance that it's not real.
Yeah.
But it is designed to make you angry.
Oh, like the past 16 months. Oh. All yeah. Right. On that note, my friend, dinner awaits.
Oh, good. So go enjoy dinner.
I'm going to. And it's good to talk to you.
Absolutely.
All right, everybody out there, take care.
We'll do it again soon.
All right, very good.